Hey everyone, I'm going to take a look today at Luke chapter 17. I'm starting in verse 1. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" I think it's important to take a look at these four moments, these four sections here, as a whole, and see how Luke weaves them together. I would suggest one thing that sort of knits them all together is that they are about life together, that they're about life together in the church and how we are to live that life. So let's look at how that unfolds. First, he says that in the church, in community together, you should watch out, be careful never to be the cause of stumbling for a little one, a younger brother. Doesn't have to be younger in age. It could just be younger in faith, an immature one. Jesus says we are to conduct ourselves such that our freedom does not hurt them. Things that we think are okay for us to do not lead them into sin. Jesus stresses that in the gospel there is great freedom. but he also stresses that there's a higher law than the law of freedom, and that is the law of love, that I learn to conduct myself among my brethren, especially brethren younger in the faith and immature believers, in such a way that I don't hinder their faith, that I don't lead them into sin. To say it another way, all of us in community, especially those who are older or who have more maturity or more responsibility, are responsible for the little ones. We should think about how our life interacts with them. We are connected and we will give an account for their lives. He then says that if your brother sins against you, you should rebuke him. So here we are again, still in community. If someone sins against you, you have a responsibility to rebuke him. Now, this is uncomfortable for many of us, but if you go and look at Leviticus chapter 19, where it says, "Love your neighbor as yourself," the prior verse, 19:17, says that we are to reason frankly with one another. In other words, if we have life together in community, not only do I have a responsibility not to act in such a way that will hinder the faith of a younger one, but I also have responsibility to speak frankly with a brother who sins. Jesus says it as a matter of course, that this is our duty in community. And then he says also, "And you must be ready to forgive." And what Jesus says here is basically kind of a preloaded forgiveness. Just assume you're ready when somebody says they repent, that they reject what they did and they no longer want to do it, to forgive them. But notice he says, if they say it 7 times a day, I think we would probably think, well, they're not really repenting, so I don't know about forgiving. But no, Jesus says that the rule for community life should be free-flowing rebuke that comes from love and free-flowing forgiveness. And imagine a community like that, total honesty and a total openness to forgiveness. This is what Jesus is calling for. Well, then it says the apostles said, "Increase our faith." So first it says the apostles said it. I think that we should hear in this an echo of this is life in the church. This is life led together. And the apostles, the leaders of the church, recognized, man, this is a tall order. This living a life of responsibility for others, of rebuking others, of forgiving others. It's a tall order. And I think it's important also to note that this comes in a context where Jesus has for chapters on end been rebuking the former leadership of Israel, or the leadership of Israel that's going to be replaced by the apostles. And I think that ties into what Jesus says next. He says, well, he begins to talk now, this is sort of the third movement, about faith, if you had faith. There are different kind of conditional clauses in Greek. This one means, if I could translate it this way, if you had faith, and you do. In other words, it assumes a positive answer to the if statement. If you had faith, and guys, you do. You're followers of me, Jesus says, so you do have faith. It may need to grow. It may be small, but even small faith is able to accomplish great things. And he says, so if you have that kind of faith, and you do, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea. Now, in Scripture, the mulberry trees are often associated with fig trees. They're often associated with the image of Israel. And I think in part what Jesus is saying is you can indeed create the kind of community that I'm describing to you. You can indeed, because you have faith in me and the resources I give you, uproot the old pattern of Israel. Uproot the old pattern that didn't fulfill the law of love, the law to reason, frankly. And you can cast it into the sea, and you can live this kind of life. So Jesus is saying, you do have faith. You have faith in me. I give you my resources to fulfill this and walk in this kind of community. I would also suggest that in Scripture, bitterness is described as you can have a root of bitterness. In other words, maybe you've so meditated on a wound, a hurt, a snub that somebody gave you that it becomes this deep root that produces terrible fruit in your life of loneliness and bitterness and isolation. He says, hey, listen, faith in me can uproot that and restore it with a community of peace and openness and forgiveness. So you trust in me. You have faith in me. It is small, but you have faith in me, and you can now uproot those old patterns with my grace and build a community that fulfills the law. And then finally, he says, he gives this little parable about the master and servant. Basically, the point of the parable, I think, is this. When we forgive somebody, let's say we forgive somebody a lot, maybe they have really done us wrong, and we have really forgiven them a lot, and we have really borne with them a lot, we are to never, ever, ever, ever think, I've done something really extraordinary. No, we're to think, I have been loved by God. I have been forgiven more than this person has been forgiven by me. I have been made a part of his family. I have been given a place of honor and privilege that I never deserved. And nothing I ever do will ever be, well, you deserve great praise. It will only be giving out what's been given to me. And so I think Jesus is also encouraging us, especially if we are leaders or have any kind of responsibility, to never think that we've done some extraordinary act of service, because we have been served in the most tremendous way by the Lord, and we will always be in a place of debt to that. Not that we could ever earn it, but that we will always be in a place of service. And we should only always think, well, I've only done what is just the basic duty, even if it's something very extraordinary in the service of the people of God. So may we have Jesus as our master and know that he has indeed washed our feet, and that we can be agents who are responsible for others, who love others by sometimes rebuking them, who forgive others and extend that forgiveness. And let us have the faith in him that imagines a different kind of people. And after all, our world needs communities like this that are places of honesty, forgiveness, and care for one another. Amen.